Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Pub Table Racers, brought to you by Lake Melbourne and Patio and Game Rooms on Raleigh School Road in Mooresville. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you, whether you're Irish or not. Tomorrow, we're all Irish, we know how it goes. If you need a note to get out of work on Thursday, call us, we have one ready for you. My name is Tim Packman. Sitting next to me is the one, the only,
Warren Bursell.
Fresh off his Xfinity win with Austin Cindric at Team Penske. Good job. Congratulations.
Cheers.
It's good. One second. Warren, we are Pub Table Racers, and sitting in front of us is?
A bucket of Miller High Life.
And some visitor beer.
A couple of visitor beers.
All right. And why do we have
a bucket of beer? We had a visitor.
And also, why do we have? Thank you. I'm sorry. Why do we have?
Because this is Pub Table Racers.
Oh, no.
Well, you have to drink that fast.
Have to drink it fast because it gets warm.
This is Pub Table Racers, and this is what we do. We drink beer. We talk about racing. We have our guests on, and we get their story. Heroes, we'd like to call them.
Yeah. Let's see who else here. Welcome, Dan Lynch. Our people, my brother Jim from Vegas. Number one fan,
Tom B.
He's in the house. That's it. Beth from high school. Bender, hello, guys.
Didn't we go to different high schools together?
No, her and I went to high school together,
well,
graduated at the same
time. That's a line.
That's your line. Good luck with that. She'll shoot you down.
Hey, right. It's a start.
That's good. All right, tonight's show, we have a very special guest tonight. Kelly McMahon. She's a longtime member of the NASCAR industry. Grew up in racing. We have a great story about her, how she was a champion racer herself. Pace car driver. We'll get to all that in a little bit. First, let's talk about the racing action this weekend. Did we cheers? I thought we did.
Yeah,
well. Oh, well, cheers again. We got a drink, otherwise I get mad. Y'all that.
Of our NASCAR family.
Okay, we can do that. Family.
Because this really is a family.
It is.
And
well, then where's my birthday cards?
She's been in the sport for a long time.
Yes,
so
she has.
Okay.
Okay.
NASCAR now family. We can carry on.
Jessica Nichols, how are you? Let's talk with him today. Yes.
Boat trip.
The boat trip. We might have a special show coming up. It'll be a good time, too. So, Lake Number Pay of Game Rooms, real quick, he sponsors Leland Honeyman Jr. in the local late model series. First time this weekend, finished sixth. So, he'd love to come on the show. We can make that happen, Andrew. Xfinity race, congratulations on the win.
Thank
Austin
you.
Austin Cindric.
Yep.
Is that
pretty much a dominating performance. Yeah, number two.
Good. So he's last two times championship last year?
Yeah.
This time, good. That race I thought was pretty good.
I thought that race was really good.
Yep. Had some interesting plot lines and twists like they all.
With the way things are going with stages and tires and things like that, yeah, I thought it was good.
How was the mood in the shop today when you come?
Good.
All right, good. And you're almost on Sunday.
Almost again. We were the first loser again.
Almost unplugged yourselves.
Don't unplug.
Yeah, but so Joey.
You won't go unplugged.
No. Joey Logano led the early portions of the race. Was it the track changing? What did you guys discover?
So from what we don't get to talk much with them guys, but from what I seen, it was either that much better.
Right.
The track maybe came to him, maybe came to his car, or they made some really good adjustments and he got really good.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we didn't get that good. I think we were good enough to beat him at the end, but the way everything worked out, it just didn't happen.
Right. Well, and then when Martin came on, he came to life there.
Yeah.
And just dominated. So congratulations to Martin. And now there are five different winners. The field's shrinking. What happens if we had 10 guys race their way in?
If you have 16 different winners,
then
you might end up with the guy who won.
Right.
On the outside.
Could you imagine that?
Because of points.
Right. But now last year we had dominant winners. And now this year. Well, right.
We got a ways to go.
We got a ways to go. But I kind of like that there hasn't been a repeat yet. So it's kind of filling the field up as we go. This week we go to Atlanta,
which is now probably going to be lukewarm.
Lukewarm. It's a spring race, yeah. Freezing. You either bake or you die there, freezing. In the news, we're going to mention this: Stuart Friesen, Truck Series winner.
Yep.
In the truck race at Bristol coming up in 2 weeks, they announced that his wife Jessica is going to race against him. So it's the first time in the Truck Series history that a husband-wife will race against each other on the dirt. She is an experienced midget racer, sprint car racer, yeah. I mean, accomplished in her own
She's
right.
She's got dirt time.
Exactly. And before the show came on, we had breaking news. Stuart Friesen is going to make his Cup debut with Spire Motorsports in the number 77.
Right.
That's his first start in that. So Stuart has a huge dirt background. I mean, he'll race. What did he race last week? 2 weeks ago, on Friday. He did two dirt tracks, one on Saturday, one on Sunday. I mean, when he's not in the truck, he's in a dirt modified something.
I mean, I think all of this is mm-hmm. good. Obviously, these Cup cars that we're taking there are not going to be like a dirt car that we've turned into a dirt car. And it's still going to be a little bit of not what people expect, in my opinion.
We'll see. We'll know in 2 weeks. Bender.
I got news for you.
What's that?
I'll be there, so.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, I get to go. I'm gonna
you're going to the track?
I'm going to track.
Oh, there you go.
21.
Good.
Wood Brothers car.
Good. So we can get some expert analysis when you come back.
We'll see how expert it is. I'm more concerned about what I got to fix and what they let me fix and what they don't. Or runs this with the heat races and everything.
What if you tear your stuff up in a heat race?
Then I'll be busy.
You'll be busy. Give me the sawzall.
I don't think we'll be going to any backups.
Okay, got it.
It'll be more about
fixing what you got.
Fix what you got. Yeah. Get it back out there.
Right.
I think they're going to be somewhat lenient on repairs.
Well, they should be. Get them out there.
They have to be.
Great. It's good.
Unless you tear the nose or
right.
off the thing. And
okay. Well, I'm glad you're going.
Yeah, I'm.
Do you remember how to get there?
I do.
Okay. Been a while.
Yeah, year plus.
Yeah, good. Well, I'm good. Before we bring up our special guest, Kelly McMahon, we did mention the Lake Norman patio and game rooms. Road in Mooresville. Go see Brad and JoJo. What are some of the favorite things in there that you like?
I really like, they have some beautiful shuffleboards.
Mm-hmm.
I've always liked that game. Yep. I don't have room down here in my man cave for one because I have a pool table.
Right.
They also have great pool tables.
Yep.
Air hockey.
Bubble top, my favorite hockey.
The foosball I like.
Foosball?
Foosball.
And then upstairs he has the beautiful outdoor patio.
Yeah.
Furniture, the teak just came in. Adirondack chairs, composite, high quality furniture that, you know, spring's coming, summer's coming. You're looking outside going, I need new stuff.
Yeah.
Go see Brad and JoJo and tell them we sent you, right?
Really nice stuff. Right. Stuff you're not going to find some of your local
sure.
yokel.
What's that place? IKEA?
Store.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're not going to find it at IKEA.
No.
It's better there.
The IKEA stuff will last a year. Brad's right. will last years.
I went to one IKEA. I walked through it 20 minutes later. I go, I don't get it. And I left.
I did the same, and I'm like, I can't speak to Sweden or whatever they're from.
Perfect. Okay, this show is also brought to you by Warren. Who's that behind you right there? RacingJunk.com, buy, sell, trade. Any item, motorsports, or motorcycles, go check them out. They've been a great supporter of ours. The items they have, if you want to sell something or buy something, just search, and it's going to come up, and you have a wide variety. Also, we'd like to welcome Rapid Removal, our new sponsor, advertiser, partner. If you're looking for a 20-yard spot, go see Darren Russell. Give him a call. They came on for the next 3 months, and he has really grown that business in a year.
Yeah.
And he was on last week, and he was a great guest, and he talked about
his feedback. Got a lot of good feedback.
Feedback, yeah. Like if you're doing like a reconstruction, remodeling, building, whatever, he's the one that can help you with that, so give him a call. Also, we can't forget our guys at the Garage Shop, Aaron Brown's Garage Shop over there. Check out what they got going. There's a lot of great car builds. The Ford Talladega is now being finished. The test wrap went on today. Amazing pictures, and it's kind of cool. And on Monday night, if you happen to be watching a YouTube channel, you might recognize somebody.
Yeah, you're actually helping them out.
I've been helping them out. We got some great interviews coming up, talking about the Dodge Daytonas with some legends. And Friday, I'm going to be like a 12-year-old. I get to talk to Bobby Allison, Donnie Allison, and Dave
Martin. Nice.
That's the goosebumps. So I'll be sitting like this, listening. Now I'll be right.
Ask Dave if he likes cheese, I bet.
That's right. No, that was good. We should be wearing good
hats.
Okay, shall we?
Wingtips. Let's shall. We shall.
All right. This girl has been a one of the first people I met when I got to Mooresville, North Carolina, 21 years ago. Gosh. She is from Central New York. She grew up as going to racetracks with her parents. Those guys became a championship motorcycle racer, a champion doing that a couple times over. She was a pace car driver, a PR person. She worked for Bill Simpson, who taught her and safety and apparel. And now, as a result, she's the owner of Infinity Actionwear. You can check them out on our website. There's a link on our sponsor page. Kelly McMahon, please join us.
Flat and track.
Speedway.
Wait, okay, I'm sorry. Speedway. You put straight me out.
Brad's checking in from Southwest Florida. Brad, you're on your third or fourth mention, right? Now, Kelly brought her own special beer.
We gotta make sure we give her the right one.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day? Yeah, we're gonna get that. Kelly McMahon, how large can you get for that? There you go. Warren opens up for you.
I can
there
open
we go. Cheers. Welcome.
Cheers.
St. Patrick's
Cheers.
Day.
Thanks
for being on. All right. By the way, my uncle just tuned in. Happy birthday. It's his birthday today.
Happy birthday.
I'm not allowed to say he's 71. Oh, I just slipped out.
I'm not allowed to say chick beer, but if any of you dudes drink this stuff, this is kind of like...
What? It's Bud Light for
the
wine?
It's for the ladies.
So you don't get scurvy. Right.
I actually like... There was a Miller Chill. I like those by the pool in summer.
Gotcha.
We can't get
enough to get summer beer.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Kelly, whereabouts in Central New York? What's the name of that town again?
From Apalachin. I went to high school in Vestal, which is half south of Syracuse, right on the Pennsylvania borderline.
Gotcha. So geographically, we know it's Central New York. Perfect. How did you get your big word? You can look it up later. It's right next to engineering. How did you get your start? How did you become interested in motorsports?
Actually, my mom's fault. She got my dad involved, but mostly as race fans. Grew up around the modifieds. Richie Evans became a big staple in our household. They were very friends with him, followed him everywhere. So I grew up at Shangri-La Motor Speedway. I was practically born.
Okay.
So grew up around mostly asphalt modifieds, a little dirt with 5 mile points. Actually moved from, when I first moved from Vestal, I moved up by Syracuse to Skaneateles and went to work for Dirt Motorsports in 1995 for a year.
Skaneateles.
So Richie Evans, so you're watching like Jerry Cook, Richie Evans, Jeff Bonnet.
Yeah.
I mean, you're watching like the legends.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, but you didn't know. You were just like your kid watching, like, oh, there goes Richie.
Yeah.
Jerry, but now, look, Hall of Fame and everything, the status he has. So you're following, you're going to the track.
So growing up around asphalt, when Richie passed away, they actually started going up to the Speedway motorcycle races up in just a little bit northeast of Binghamton to the Speedway races. And the funny thing was, I was 15, I was old enough to stay home, my mom trying to get me to go up, didn't want to go. They're like, come on, just come up with us. I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna stay here tonight. And they finally convinced me to go up with them, had the best time that night, found out one of my fellow classmates at the high school raced, and we had a lot of fun. It was interesting. They had a band and stuff afterwards, so we started going every week. I went and told my parents I wanted to try it out, and they were okay. I mean, they weren't opposed to it.
So I want to get on my motorcycle.
They were jumping through hoops for
sure.
It. I have a younger brother who's 5 years younger than me, and so he had a motocross bike at the time, wasn't racing, just kind of trail riding, and he kind of went, told him the same thing, he wanted to try it out. So they told him if he sold his bike, they'd buy him a Speedway bike and let him try it out. And we went up to a practice one night, and he got on it, and there was maybe 5 people sitting in the stands, and he did not want to go out. He was intimidated completely by any kind of a crowd. So he refused to go out. So I said, well, we've got the bike now, can I try it out? And they figured no harm done at this point.
But you've never been on it. You never raced. You never
practiced. You've been on motorcycles. I mean,
prior to that,
never on anything.
So what size was it?
I can't even remember what size bike we tried out. I had. I think it was no, because that was my first bike. It was a Brigo. It was 250.
Okay.
But that was pretty much it. It was a 3/4 bike. I graduated up to the 500 when I really started getting into the races.
Right.
So they cut you loose that first night.
So went out, fell in love with it. The promoter came up to me, and I planned on, you know, just because I'd never been on a bike, practicing and kind of going for a few weeks. But the promoter came up to me that night, and he's like, "Here's the deal. We want you to come race Saturday night. We have a son who wants to get involved, and he wants to race. So we're going to start a separate division for you guys. So it'll be a beginner division." Mm-hmm. So packed up, showed up Saturday night, and it was me, him, and another guy joined us. So it was three of us. Right. And so kind of same with me, a little intimidated in front of the crowd and stuff. But as soon as I got out there, I was fine. And so the way this track was set up, big biker track. So backside was a grandstand that they would call the Black Flag Crew.
Okay.
Your hardcore bikers and everything else. So that was my one thing when I went out. I said, I don't want to go out and crash in front of these guys because I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to know exactly what they think of me.
Sure, right.
And sure as anything, what'd I go out and spin around. I crash in that side. And so I get up, pick my bike up, and this guy comes up to the fence. He's like, hey, you. I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, here we go. And I look up, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, stick with it. That's so cool. I'm like, all right. I'm like, so this may not be a bad thing. So, I raced Speedway for 4 years, won 2 track championships in that.
What size bikes were them? Still 250s?
No, 500. 500cc, no brakes, and what oval track.
What brand?
I had a Jawa for the rest of the time after I graduated from my first bike.
What kind of bike?
Jawa.
Mm-hmm. And is that a, so I don't, because I don't know this at all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you got to help me out here. So this is a 4-stroke?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. And it's
no it's brakes a, it's and a custom, your throttle.
Is it some like, custom bike with like a Honda motor on it or?
Nope. It was a Jawa motor.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah, so is that?
It's a Britain bike. Most.
Okay.
So you got Jawa, Brigo, everything as far, there really wasn't a US made Speedway bike.
Okay.
Everything was mostly geared towards England. Perfect. Speedway is in that.
Okay. And when you say Speedway, compared to what I'm thinking of flat track.
Correct.
Because I'm thinking of those Harley Sportsters.
Correct. Yep. Totally opposite. Your flat track, you have a transmission.
Okay.
So flat track goes usually a little bit over 100. Speedway, you're around 60 to 80, depending on the size of the track, but no brakes. Flat track, you have brakes. Flat track is more of a stockier bike. Speedway is a very narrow, skinny bike.
Okay.
So when you're how old were you doing this now?
I started when I was 15.
Okay.
So I was just getting into high school. A lot of people at high school had no idea that I was even doing it until the year I graduated. The local newspaper did an article on me, and I had people come up to me all the time. They're like, "Why didn't you say anything?
Why didn't you tell people?"
I went to the school I went to was a lot of, it was a very preppy high school, very doctors, lawyers, and here you have a girl going and racing motorcycles in the dirt, so I didn't know how people would accept it, and something I did
so
on the weekends.
So you just won championships and show them. Good job. Good.
So.
All right, so that's how you got your start. Congrats on and you made your way, so well, or you're up there. The dirt, you said you worked there for a little bit.
So after I did Norcross for 2 years, I had the opportunity actually to move down here, and I also had an offer to move north to Syracuse to help out a girlfriend run a drugstore up there. So I actually ended up moving up to Skinny Atlas by Syracuse, and while I was there, a job came open at Dirt Motorsports headquarters, and so I went over there for a little over a year, probably the best year of my life. Worked my ass off. It was 7 days a week.
And who was running dirt then?
Glenn Donnelly.
Legendary Glenn Donnelly.
So I was working anywhere from front desk to I was working at the tracks, either selling 50-50 tickets or doing hospitality.
But you're out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
this is the start of your PR type work?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, because I did just about everything you could possibly do there. I was Friday nights, I was at Canandaigua doing hospitality. And then Saturday night was either, or no, excuse me, Saturday night was Canada, but Friday night was when I was at Apple Valley or Spencer Speedway.
And what did you do at Apple Valley / Spencer Speedway, Kelly?
I drove pace car.
How did that happen? How does that just go, come drive the pace car.
I wish I could remember how it all came about, because I don't remember how I got the initial asked to come do it. I think I knew somebody who was either working out there or racing out there. I really don't know. And they told them my background. I used to race motorcycles. And so they said, we need a pace car driver. And so I did that for a year. And it was definitely a lot of fun. It was very interesting.
Nice,
and
sir.
There was definitely
you got to lead every race.
You got it. I even almost got him taken out.
Not every race, never won one.
Nice. Never won one. So you're there, and then the move comes down here eventually.
So then, yeah. So '96, I moved down here.
And first job here was.
Well, I moved down. I didn't move down for a job. I knew I wanted to move down here to be involved in racing and get involved in NASCAR. And prior to coming down here, I had been on a motorsports cruise, and all the people that I met told me to, like, if you want to work in racing,
like a cruise ship.
Yep, it was the
Miller.
That's a good
way to network. Yeah,
it was your Miller High Life cruise.
Okay,
yeah, Miller Motorsports cruise.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I met a bunch of people in racing on that cruise, and they all told me the same thing: if you want a job in racing, you have to pick up and move down here.
Yeah.
Why are they going to go to New York to hire somebody when they have five people at their front door?
So, real quick, I'm going to throw this out. Yeah, have a sip of beer. Write your list. If anybody watches our show, there's a trend forming here.
Yep.
And the trend is if you want to do this, first of all, you got to be here.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You're not going to send a resume from
Akron, New York.
Yeah, or from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or whatever.
Right.
And you got to be here. They want you here. Usually what happens is can you stay? I had to throw it in.
No, so
go ahead.
Did the same.
Carry on. Trip. I love your story so far.
So you're on the cruise. You need to, and then so you
start. Yeah, told me the same thing. You got to be.
Except for the cruise, I don't like cruises. I've been on a cruise. I feel like I'm on a floating Golden Corral. That's
really.
I love getting off the boat and going to the island.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I hated being on.
Got it. Just too many.
I'm sorry.
So many trips to the ice cream machine. I get it. Got it.
Well, it's just like the cruise. It's like there's a line to get a sandwich. You know.
Well, then you know what? You should go on the Rich Bickle cruise in January because it'll be different.
I'll meet you at any island you want.
Well, we're going to a bunch of them.
Party like
don't tell Kelly. Kelly will show up. Oh, is there another trip somewhere? She'll go. Hey, all right. So let's go back to you, Kelly. No more ice cream. Stories over there. Okay, got it. All right, so you're down here, you started working.
So I came down, and it still wasn't as easy as everybody made it seem like you get out there. And I moved down with a guy that had gotten a job in racing, and then we split our ways, but I wanted to stay to see this out, and took resumes around and everything else, knocked on doors, and it was a matter of who you knew and being in the right spot at the right time. Right. I mean, you just don't walk into it. So I did numerous things when I first moved here, bartending, I was an office manager, I worked for a lawn care company, I've done a little bit of everything.
You attended bar at the world famous in Mooresville, Rockin' and Racin'.
I did.
Anybody and everybody in racing used to go to this.
Yes.
Let's just call it a rural, rustic place, because a hole in the wall, what do you want to call it?
Oh yeah, hole in the wall. Definitely hole in the wall.
Coldest beer in town.
Bras and panties hanging from the ceiling.
I was going to leave that part out.
Well, yeah, I'm not, because... I guess the fire marshal came in and told Stanley to get them all down here, fire hazard. I'm like, a fire hazard? What?
So you could walk in there and you'd be with Jimmy Johnson, you could be with Kurt Busch, John Darby, officials.
Warren Brazell, Tim Beck. Tim Clemens.
Been there, like, Tim Clemens. But I mean, it was like anybody in the room, they just kind of went there.
Frozen turkey bowling.
And then frozen turkey and kind of hung out. And that's, they just tore it down. A lot of people were sad.
I know.
I was a little sad.
I saw that.
15 years.
Yeah. A lot of memories there. Right? Yeah.
So Rockin' and Racin'. That brings up memories for a lot of people. We're back up. Okay, so you got that. Now you're...
So basically, starting off, I freelanced for Sunbelt Video way back in the day.
Which
vlogging videotapes.
Production company of early NASCAR races, and they had some shows, and there was... quite a few people that started out back then.
Yeah.
Oh, Sunbelt Video. Yeah, I'll tell you about that. Oh, real quick. Tracy Hutzel, I know you're not watching, maybe you are. Just got a job. She's been out of work for a year. Just got a job as a director of the NASCAR Foundation. She has to pick up and leave Mooresville and go on to Daytona. I figure if you're going to leave Mooresville, Daytona's not a bad place. So way to stick it out, Tracy.
About second best.
Yeah, second best.
Let's go there.
Right. Okay.
You're fine.
All right.
From there, I did PR for TJ Bell in the Truck Series.
Yep.
Geez, that was back in 97. That's it. Okay. Somewhere there.
Yeah, you can get close.
We're getting close.
Yeah,
close.
You say the
90s. There's no quiz.
Late
90s. Wow.
Yeah, it was definitely late 90s.
Right. We get a little bit of old timers on this show.
Sure.
We don't have old timers.
It was actually probably more 2000,
2001. So, you know, Andrea Calkins?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, say hi to her.
Hi, Andrea.
She says, and this is a female, so I'm just reading what's here. On the lighter side of this broadcast, can we all acknowledge that Kelly McMahon is looking hot? Pretty tonight, because Kelly, we'll get to why she is, what she's wearing there. Okay, good times there. It looks bad. Good, I brushed my teeth already. Anyhow, Kelly, our guest here.
Well, I mean, I think she looks great.
Okay,
too.
Perfect, yes.
Thank you.
Go ahead, so you were talking.
I don't even know where I was at, and I threw
me off. Well, now
she's
got her flat.
Well, no, so you're...
Have a little sip of beer.
Sunbelt videos, and then you're, from there you... TJ Bell.
I did PR for TJ. And then little stuff here and there, little marketing, PR stuff. And then I got the phone call in January of 2003 from Bill Simpson.
The legendary... Bill Simpson, Simpson Products, light myself on fire with my safety.
Right.
Fire suit on,
fire suit,
work,
seat belt, helmets,
legend.
And all safety equipment.
All this stuff he did.
Great guy.
He has saved so
many
lives.
I met him one time in Indy. That was one of my favorite times I ever spent in the sport, was hanging out with that guy.
So Vinny's, while we're talking about old places on the waterfront, showed up. You brought him into Vinny's one night with Kelly and introduced me. I was with NASCAR.com or what I was doing with that, and just started talking. I was standing like, oh my God, this guy, just the stories he told me. I just read his book. And so you worked with him.
He wasn't afraid to put a few back either.
No, he was not. No.
I never had to worry about it. I was working for him.
Hey, he enjoyed it.
So
what did you do for him? You got the call and you handled it. That's when he had Impact, right?
So he had just started Impact. Year of Impact, and he wanted somebody to help run his the Eastern Division of the company, handle everything that went with down here. Mm-hmm. Cup, Xfinity, Trucks, ARCA, Hooters Pro Cup, start a store.
It was all on you?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. We started everything from the ground up down here. So I got the phone call. Like I said, I'd met Bill before, my old roommate. She was his co-pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd met Bill few times. He knew my background. He knew I used to work in racing, or I used to race motorcycles. And I got the call out of the blue. It was a Friday. I remember it was right before the test at Daytona, and I didn't recognize the number. So we went to voicemail, and I started listening to it, and I'm like, why the hell is Bill Simpson calling me for? Like, I had no idea what was going on. And so I called him right back, and he said, are you in Daytona? And I said, no. I said, I actually thought about going down this weekend to see, you know, if anybody was hiring or what was going on. And he said, I'll be back in town on Monday. I'd really like to sit down and talk with you. And I was like, all right. And he said, let's meet at 4 o'clock on Monday. And I said, sounds good. So he showed
Bill
up.
Bill Simpson.
Bill Simpson.
Did you know what he wanted to talk to you about?
No,
wow.
No idea.
So how was your week?
I gotta go here.
Okay.
Because this is what I do.
Yep.
All right.
Go ahead.
So he's calling you. Mm-hmm. Do you have any college background for what he's asking you to do?
Well, I did. When I moved down here, I actually did go to the Community College for Motorsports Management.
Okay.
So
so you have some.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And but you're still getting you're getting put in this top tiered. I mean, this is
right.
A big deal.
Oh, yeah.
What you're saying,
yeah.
He's putting you in charge of. And to me, it's like he probably looked at more of your experience
100%
than your education. Yeah.
To him, he is more of a hands-on person.
Yes.
He never, as far as I know, he never went to college.
Right.
He, you know, and that was, it's what you know, where you came from,
yeah.
Your background, and that's what he came to me and said, you know.
And entrusted you into doing this for him.
Right.
Yeah.
He's like, I know you race. He's like, I know you understand helmets.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you might not know helmets, but you know helmets. You know what people are looking for in a helmet.
They mess up your hair.
That's why I put racer.
Oh, no, you could have a helmet on.
That'd be just like that.
Still look like drunk.
Thank you. I'll take the money, though. Go ahead. We digress. Poor Kelly.
Getting more beer.
That's what's on the table.
Seltzer.
Seltzer.
Somebody
I'll start
drumming.
Thinking those are questions.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
I had no problem with it.
No, you're good. All right, bring it in there. We're
well,
good.
That's what you said. Bring something green
right,
for a second.
I get us off
green.
Track.
You're good. That's fine. We're
I
good.
Know I get us off track.
Off track.
I've got to notice stuff.
I understand that. That's good. I want you because then. Perfect.
If you okay. want to ask a question, then you know somebody else is thinking it.
And no, well, exactly. And because I'm not educated and because I know how far I've gotten in the sport, and you don't need to be educated. You do now, but you didn't back when we were doing
it. You got to pay attention.
You, it's about your drive, and right. it's about your goals, and mm-hmm. it's about your work ethic.
Right.
So let's go with that.
Perfect. So now you're going to work. So,
well,
you meet,
so
you
yeah.
meet, you're meeting?
Yeah, you're meeting Bill Simpson.
Bill Simpson.
So was he on fire? We actually meet at Big Al's in Cornelius.
Okay.
Because I was actually bartending that night, so an hour before my shift, we went to meet up. And so he sits me down and he said, you know, did you find a job? Do you have a job? Are you working? And I said, no, I'm still looking. And he said, I'm going to propose something to you. I don't know whether it's something you want, and I don't know if it's something that's going to work with me, but here's the deal. He said, I need somebody to handle everything down on this end in the south. Mm-hmm. I need a rep. I need somebody that can, you know, that understands this. He said, I know you used to race, so I know you understand the, you know, logistics and the basics of what you look for in safety equipment and helmets and everything else. He said, if you're interested, he said, I'd like to try this out on a trial basis. He said, I want to bring you up to Indy for a month mm-hmm. to hang out and learn.
They're headquartered there.
Yeah.
Yep, in Williamsburg. Yep, just outside of Indianapolis.
Right.
And he said, I want you to spend a month up there and, you know, see if you like it. And then we'll start sending you to the track, you know, maybe March, April, maybe Rockingham, I think was the first race they wanted to
right.
send me to. And I said, listen, I said, if we're going to do this, I said, you need to get me to Daytona. I said, because your trucks are off for 3 weeks after that. So if you're going to get any new business, I said, they're still going to be looking for new stuff after Daytona. And he's like, that's the feedback I want to hear. He's like, I want you up in Brownsburg. I think it was this Thursday. I was like, oh, my first test was to take his Tahoe and his trailer and drive it from here to Brownsburg, which I hadn't pulled a trailer and got it.
Sure.
Over 10 years. It'd been right. forever. And sure as anything, we get a blizzard the day I'm supposed to leave. And I was like, oh, this is great. So he let me postpone it by one day.
Right.
So roads through the mountains were still bad when
right.
I went up. I mean, I think it took me 14 hours to get
but
up there. I was white knuckled the whole way.
I
was the whole way.
You're in a dually truck or a pickup truck, and you're pulling a how long of a trailer?
Remember
40, 20, 20,
20. Nah, probably 20, 25.
Okay. But you're still and you're by yourself.
By myself, yeah. Yep,
go ahead.
The mountains.
This is very
No,
this
she's
is
not
a,
afraid
this is what woman's
History Month
is all
this
about.
This woman made history, thank you. I forgot.
Because I would have been history if I had pulled that trailer through the snow.
I forgot.
I'd have been off the road calling someone to
I'll tell you.
Bill.
Yeah,
it ain't good.
So you're hauling this up, so you're going to any.
So, yep, I get up there and I wasn't even up there a week. And he came to me and sat me down. He's like, here's the situation. He's like, I've talked to everybody. He says, you've taken good notes. You know your shit. You know what you're doing. He said, I don't need you here for the full month. Go home, take a couple of weeks off, relax, and I'll meet you in Daytona.
Nice.
And boom, you're hired. You're on the payroll.
And
very good.
History.
Wow. So, and so how long did you work with him? Or for him?
Well, for close to 10 years on and off,
wow.
different, you know, after the Impact deal, I was with him, you know, from the first full year till he sold. He sold it December 2010, so by June of 11, they got rid of us, but Mastercraft bought it, and they put their people in place, and then...
You hated that, I remember that. You did, you hated
well,
that.
I
know,
really thought at
no,
that point
you, no,
like, that was going to be where I ended my career.
Right,
I enjoyed
you,
my job.
You're established,
the
right? You're established.
Oh, yeah,
right.
And I mean...
I remember...
And it wasn't it wasn't perpetual.
Right.
It was always something new. I mean, right. there was always challenges and everything else, but I enjoyed it no matter whether... I was working a 24-hour day or
right.
what, I enjoyed it. And I really thought that was where I would end my career, everything else, and then it just got taken
out. So I remember,
you know, it's really hard to work in anything in this sport for 10 years.
Right.
It's really hard. I mean, I've made it 9.5 at DEI and 9 at RCR,
right.
you know, and...
This is my 20th year in the sport.
Well, I'm 25 in the sport, but I've never quit. I take that back. I quit. But what I'm getting at is that the changes that evolve, you know, with your company, that it was the same changes that have evolved with the companies I work for. And to work 9 or 10 years in this sport is a big deal.
But Kelly, I remember when it started with you, I remember the, you know, you did the, remember the letter we gave Bill to make sure that it was legit? You know, we did it, he goes, what's this? He goes, I just want to make sure, but I wanted you to be covered. And then you went through the whole thing, and the, when it sold, and I remember how sad you were and upset, because you gave 10 years of your heart and soul there.
Yeah.
So Bill Simpson, what is a couple things you learned working with him?
Oh my.
Great.
Just give me a couple.
Great.
Because I know he worked
hard. He was like my second dad, and it absolutely crushed me when we lost him. Yeah. But
it crushed a lot of us. I seen a lot of your posts when you did that on Facebook and stuff, and I thought about the time I got to meet him and how great of a guy he was. It's just, people don't realize he was a racer.
Oh, yeah.
He was a racer, and he wanted people safe.
Right.
As long as I worked for him, I mean, it was always new stories. I mean, I can't tell you, I enjoy going up to the Brickyard every year because I would just sit in the back of his suite and just listen to the stories that went around in that room. And it just, you know.
Little kid status, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, so we had a meeting. So during this deal, we were trying to get RCR on board with us. So Bill and I went up and had a meeting with Richard Childress in his office. And it was just the three of us. And I just got to sit back and take in all the stories. And I mean, I've definitely, you know, like I said, he's been a mentor. He, like you said, safety has always been number one. And that's why I said, if I ever race cars, I 100% would be in his stuff, because he's the only person I've ever seen out there that's actually put his own stuff on and proved that his stuff works.
Right.
And I would always back him up no matter what happened, because he was a firm believer. And I mean, so there was one year I was up in Brownsburg. I'd have to go up, you know, every few months to go up for a couple days. And Bill's like, come on, jump in the truck with me. We're going to go test this parachute. Next thing I know, we're going through the park 120 miles an hour, and he's in the back of the pickup truck going through some business park, throwing a parachute out the back of a truck. I was like, I can just imagine what these people looking out their windows are thinking. What are those Bill?
Did you call the fire department or that? He's going to get all day. Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, you know, he taught me so much about business. He taught me so much about life. I mean, everything, like I said, he was so like my second dad. Like you said, he could throw a few back. If you've never read his books, you have to read his books. When I first started working for him, even the first full year I worked for him, I still was intimidated every day. Like,
seriously?
That phone would ring. Oh, yeah.
Really?
For every day, that phone would ring, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, now what? I'm like, did I do something wrong? What's going on?
Sure.
And,
right.
Like I told you, we did another interview where I said, Ron Hornaday gave me the best piece of advice when I started working for Bill. He said, as long as you don't screw Bill over, Bill will have your back and take care of you for the rest of your life. He said, but there's going to be times that he's like, you have to have thick skin, and as long as you can let shit go in one ear and not the other, you're golden. And it wasn't even a day or two later, I'm in Bristol and I get this phone call, and I pick up the phone and he's screaming.
Right.
And so
Okay.
No. So I pull the phone away and I'm like, okay. And I'm like, okay.
Was it a flip phone that day?
No.
So I hang up the phone and I was like, I don't know what just happened. I don't know what I did wrong or anything else. So back, he's like, I'm really sorry. He's like, you were just the first one to answer the phone. It's like, this has nothing to do with
you.
Exactly.
That shows your dedication and loyalty. Yep. I'll bet
she didn't cry.
Oh, no, not at all.
No.
And it was like, really, after that was
strong,
just like,
woman's
all right,
month.
So,
exactly, yes.
So, yeah. And, like you said, if you've never read his books, you have to read his books. I didn't read his first book until maybe a year or two after I started working for him. And like, I knew he was crazy and I knew his crazy stories, but I didn't know how crazy until I read these books. And I was like, holy crap. I mean, he personally stopped a NASA launch. He drove his boat up into a dock one night in Mexico and like into the restaurant. And late next morning, was like, what is going on? I mean, you have to read the books. It's very, very interesting. But he always told me, if you can't drink with him, you can't trust him. So I knew I could never do anything worse than he's ever done.
Good thing you're Irish.
Exactly. I'm pretty good at this drinking business, and I can barely drink with
it. Frank Mathalia says, what was the name of Bill's bar in Indy? Do you know?
Kelly's.
Kelly's?
Yeah.
Oh, he said he went there with Red Dog and Sterling Marlin.
Yeah, actually, it was before, yeah.
Oh, he didn't even after you?
Just, no. Okay. That was, he actually had it sold before I started working for him, okay. But that was way back in the day.
Two things you learned from Bill.
Oh.
Two biggest things. That you would use today.
I mean, business, like I just always work hard and, you know, personal relationships mean so much. I mean, we do everything when I work for him to what I incorporate now, how much of a difference it is being at the racetrack than going and visiting people at race shops, because it's so political now, yeah, that everybody's not at the shop.
And we're so disconnected now, right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, even before the whole COVID deal, I mean, if you have a marketing company that's out of Ohio, but they're the ones that's ordering your fire suits and your shirts and your safety equipment, it's not going to help going to the, you know, shop. And they're busy working on the car there. And I can't tell you how many times I've been at the in the garage and somebody will come up to me like, oh, crap, I need stuff for next weekend. Right. They, you know, they see you, they remember. Right. So it's always been.
Okay.
And that's why you're there.
So now, we'll just fast forward a little bit. So you now have your own company. Mm-hmm. Would you say Bill inspired you to do that?
100%.
Okay, got it.
Working for Bill, yeah.
And what's it called?
Infinity Actionwear.
Right. And what are you wearing tonight?
My Infinity Actionwear shirt.
There you go.
Which
perfect.
I can't see probably with my hair.
You're good. That's fine. So when did you start that?
So we started working on it at the end of 2003, but we didn't get it up and going until 2004. We actually started outsourcing the first 6 months because we had to order equipment, come in. Right. Everything was kind of a fluke how it happened. I knew it was something I wanted to get into. I had talked about it before I'd left, or right after I'd left. I said, I know the shirt deal is not a political deal, it's more of a price deal.
Yep,
if
absolutely.
You can beat the other guy by $5 a shirt, you're going to get that business.
Sure, they're ordering a lot of shirts, so
right?
$5 is a, you know, times 100.
Where you understand the fire suits is a safety aspect, and you know, more people are, and I completely understand that. I would never force somebody to wear something else that they didn't feel comfortable in, as long as they know the facts with what they're wearing. You know, if you don't know what you're wearing, you need to go out and look what burn rates are and everything else, because you'd be surprised. And there are fire suit companies out there that I feel bad, and I don't know how they're even legal, because there's people that have gotten seriously, seriously burned in some of these fire suits.
Okay.
You need to know what you're wearing.
Nice.
Don't go for price.
That's
go
like
for quality.
Under the, that's like under the table info there.
Right. You only, hey, you only have one body, you only have one head.
Right,
I mean,
a fire suit could mean you're protected, or it just means you're on fire.
It takes one wreck to find out you're the wrong stuff.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
That whenever anybody calls me and says, well, we need a cheap suit, I'm like, then don't call me. I said, you don't want a cheap suit, and I'm not going to get you a cheap suit. So it depends on
cheap skin.
What do you have? Cheap boy.
How much is a skin grow?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the hospital bills and everything else,
it's
worth that extra.
You get
good.
So,
you started that. Now you have the company, and you make, what are some of the, name everything.
We primarily make the sublimated crew shirts,
which is what you're wearing.
That the guys wear. Yep. Yep. We print press cut here in Mooresville. We have
soft too.
Polyester. I have people locally that sew for me. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, we got it going. It all, like I said, I started talking about, I knew it was something I wanted to do, I knew the potential for it, I knew what it was going to take, but I didn't know, like, I'd learned from ground up, I didn't know how the equipment ran, I didn't know nothing.
Can you talk about who you handle right now?
Well,
are you allowed to
it's, now? It's Corona, well, I've got
no,
some...
No, I mean, whose shirts do you make?
What teams do you work with?
Right now, Premium, I've done stuff for Spire. I've done JD Motorsports, I've done a lot, so I do Gators as well, which is big right now, which I've done that for a lot of different people. That really helped save me during the...
I mean, when I'm looking at your stuff, it's the same stuff that I look at, that I get from Penske, and or when I was at RCR. It's you know, years ago, everything was embroidered.
Right.
Embroidered.
Embroidered, that makes sense.
I'll get it right.
Sure.
And now it's a screen printing or something?
It's called sublimation.
Sublimation.
So everything starts out white.
Yep.
Doesn't matter whether it's a black shirt or not. Okay. Everything is print. So it, the pattern gets printed out to size on a heat transfer paper. That paper goes on the fabric. The fabric goes into.
Because everybody's stuff looks like this now.
Right.
Is what I'm getting at. Mm-hmm. So what I want to say is that why. You know, I don't know who we get our stuff from, but maybe it's a contract. Maybe it's...
Yeah, and that's the thing is, it's hard for me to compete with bigger teams because there's loyalty.
Yeah.
Number one, mm-hmm. which is actually hard to find in the sport anymore, which is sad to say.
Yeah.
But bigger teams have better contracts. They can get free products. They get free fire suits or they get free shirts if they buy fire suits.
Yeah.
And I'm a small independent company. Right. I can't
free
do that.
For me. Free for Kelly.
I have to survive too.
You're a small company, but you're doing the work that you're doing. And by the way, may I take a moment?
Mm-hmm.
If you order one of our koozies off our website, pubtableracers.com, with all our merchandise, Kelly makes those. There you go. So those of you that have koozies, that's the woman that made them right there.
And they're nice koozies.
They're awesome. And I picked the one night to forget mine. It's nice. She's
and
hot.
I never use
idiot.
One.
I don't use them either.
Okay,
so.
Fine. I do. It's the same one you gave me the prototype. I still have that for months now. Gosh. They hold it. So it just shows the quality of them.
Yep.
There you go. So you're in this, and now you have the equipment.
Yeah, and that also, like I said, when I started talking about doing this, there was, everything kind of happened for a reason, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I knew this was something I wanted to pursue somewhere down the road, and this guy, you know,
I'm just checking.
Make sure you know, take, no, it's not sure you take care of. You're a guest here tonight.
Thank you. So there was a guy when I worked for Impact who had brought his own material in for us to print on to make shirts for back when Tommy Baldwin Racing was up and running. And I remember this fabric, and I'm like, I really like this fabric. It was really nice fabric. I'm like, I wish I could find this guy. Well, it was funny, maybe 3-4 months later, I was out at the Blue Parrot, and this guy shows up. He walks in, and I was like, that's really weird. And he comes up to me.
So the story starts out, because, you know, I like to joke. A guy walks into the bar.
Right. That ends up to the paradigm. Sometimes at the Blue Parrot.
With some fabric.
Yeah, fabric on them.
I gotta put my humor in there. That's what I'm here for.
Well, and that was
all. I don't know about none of this.
I mean, I was just thinking about you, and he's like,
oh, yeah.
And I was like, no. Like, about your fabric.
About fabric, okay, got it.
So we sat down, had a beer, started talking, and he's like, well, you know, I used to have a sublimation company up in New York, and right now it's all sitting in the storage.
Really?
The printers, the heat press, the sewing machines, fabric, everything you need. And I was like,
you were like, you want a shot?
I was like, we need to talk.
Yeah, so you bought all
3 tequilas for him.
No.
And negotiations started.
And next thing you know?
We managed to buy his material off of him.
Okay.
So we did open communication, start talking, came up with a price and everything else. And it was supposed to be a one-stop shop. And so he called me up and he's like, if you get it moved down there, pay me a little bit every month. He's like, you can have it because I'm paying for storage right now.
Right.
He's
like, he was losing money on it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And so we started looking into moving company or moving trucks to get it, everything down here. And I said, well, I need to know like a list of all your equipment so I know exactly what kind of, what size truck I need to get. And he calls me back a day or two later. He's like, okay, bad news. Storage unit was broken into. Some of the stuff was stolen, like the sewing machines. I think it was sewing machines and the heat press.
Okay.
And I said, okay. I said, well, do you still have the fabric? Do you still have the computer and the program? And do you still have the printer? Yep, I have all that.
Good enough.
I said, okay. I said, readjust your price.
Yep.
I said, I'm not worried about the sewing machines because I ain't going to sew.
Right. I don't know.
I said, and we'll just go and order a heat press.
Because right. That's what I would said. Sew?
Yeah.
It was like low hanging fruit to you. You have 9 minutes, honey, but go ahead. Okay.
So anyway,
I have 9 minutes.
No, she has 9 minutes, not you.
You were calling me honey.
No.
Oh boy.
56
Are you having fun?
Always.
Good.
Yes.
Cheers.
Episode 56 might not happen, but go ahead.
I'm still mad that you gotta even call them damn oysters.
I know. Oh, that's right.
But yeah, they were frozen. Got frozen when they did the police report.
Right.
So the only thing I got from this guy was the fabric. Well, at this point, we had already started talking to people. People, like, I went to a lot of my old customers because I knew they didn't want minimums. Like, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to start my own deal, was to help out some of these smaller teams. Because
with that said, we have a lot of short track people out there. If
no
they
minimums.
Want crew shirts, what?
No minimums.
No minimums. You want your short track, crew uniforms, whatever you need, fire suits, on our website. While you go buy the merchandise, if you buy a bunch of stuff, you can go by the sponsor page, and Infinity Actionwear is there. Click it, and I'll take you to Kelly. So go ahead.
So, yeah, so I knew that potential, and when I started talking to some of my old customers, they said, you know, you've never screwed us over. We know your work ethic.
Relationships. Huh?
And, you know, if you're starting your own deal, we'll stick with you. And I didn't want the big teams when I first started because I knew there was going to be a lot of learning curves.
Might have been hard for you, right? Oh, now, now you can get this spire who says, hey, guess what? We just got, you know.
Store freezing.
Yeah.
Right. Someone's cakes and bakes for next weekend. Can you get us 5 shirts?
Oh,
and boom, you can do it.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. Right before Vegas, I got a phone call from one of the truck teams that got sponsored by Camping World.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I got the call on Wednesday morning before Vegas. I was flying out Thursday morning. What are the odds of me getting 4 or 5 shirts for this weekend? Got them done.
Right.
Got them delivered.
Right.
It was an all-nighter, but it was
got taken
care of.
Oh,
yeah. And I get it. And that's the thing is, that's the difference is I understand what this takes, and you got to do what you got.
Perfect.
It's part of our business.
Oh, right. 100%.
Exactly. Yeah.
100%, especially January, February.
So we talked about all the racing, all your accomplishments. You've, you know, Women's History Month. You've definitely made your mark in the sport. One thing that you've now, you are a lover of the local music scene. And Kelly would bring in, she'd go to Nashville, her second, third home, whatever, and she would, all of a sudden, singers, performers would be showing up in Mooresville. And like, where are they? Oh, from Nashville. And Kelly would go back in, you know. And so you're convincing them to come here for a weekend, and you're booking them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, wherever, maybe Sunday if you can, and they come and perform here, and then they go back, and they tell
promoting some
so they tell other Nashville performers.
Come over here to play in a couple months. So
that is something that you believe in the music scene.
Yeah, I mean, I love music, live music. Obviously, everybody, whoever looks at any of my social media will always see
live this, here we are, music this.
Well, only time I'll do live stuff.
Well, you know, let's think about Nashville. All of us have been there.
Yep.
And, you know, there's winners and losers. People don't know. We'll talk about this. But, you know, you go into losers, and there's guys, all of a sudden, some guy will walk in. And
you never know who you're going to see.
Right. You never know who you're going to see there.
Like a name signed artist.
Right. And like Blake Shelton or someone.
Oh, yeah. I've seen him.
And now you're dragging these people that could be potential that guy here.
And then they come back. They like it so much.
They
such a good
time. They love it.
They come back every few months.
Change of pace for them.
Sure.
So,
new t-shirts to sell.
Kind of get away and everything else. So like I said, I probably have 6 or 7 right now that love to come out here. So every couple months we'll schedule, you know, and I try to make it worth their while. So I'll put 4 or 5 gigs together a week for them so that they can come out, hang out for the week, and everybody likes to come out and watch them.
Kelly's a go-getter, in case you haven't picked up on this. Now, in addition to all the stuff we talked about,
she's an entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur.
Because she works at a bar at a hotel, and I guarantee you she probably says, hey, you know what? I can get you a deal on a hotel.
As for the
it's happened sometimes.
Right.
When I did,
so at one point you had the video rental place, an ice cream shop, and then you also had a candy vending business.
Yeah.
You did that for a while.
Oh,
I told you, I've known you for 2 years. Your PR person, all this stuff. But you've always found a way to not just sit there and go, oh, this is best. This is as good as it gets.
Right.
You always want to do better. And you always wanted more, and you always set out to do it. So, I commend you for that.
100%. That's what my motto's always been: work hard, play harder.
Right. And if you ever, I nicknamed her the other week. I started calling. I call her Julie of the Lake Norman cruise directing fund. She's like, what's that? I go, is she looking? I just came to.
So, are you Stubing?
No, I'm Isaac. I'll be the bartender. because I've done that before. So, but no, I mean, it's like, what's going on? What's going on? What do you get? What's going on? So people are always constantly, and when you're with her, her phone's constantly going. It's like, is it a shirt? Is it what's going on?
Not everybody knows the Love Boat.
I understand that, but you get the Love Boat reference for you kids out there. But you always. You know,
when I was like 18, my dad told me, this house is not the Love Boat.
Okay. Oh, well, that's for a different reason, Warren. Right. That was a different kind of rock.
Well, I'm just saying.
Sorry, I made myself laugh. My turn to cry. But anyhow, I give you all the credit in the world and the stuff that you've done. And we've been friends for, like a little sister for 20 years, 21 now. Good God.
And I won't say we have been friends, but we've known each other for forever.
Hey, don't be crashing our friendship, damn it.
I'm not.
NASCAR family.
I know I'm being funny.
We're in the NASCAR family.
Exactly. I mean, that's the one thing I can always say, especially being a female. I mean, I did work my ass off to prove myself in this sport. And I know at the end of the day, if I was ever in trouble, I could call on anybody in that garage.
Right.
And that we always, everybody has each other's back.
Someone's down.
Well, and a lot of people respect you for it. You know what I mean? It's female, male aside, we all know that there's good to bad to ugly in this sport. And you're the good,
right?
And that's all that matters. It perfect. If you call me tomorrow and say, "Geez, Warren, I need some help. Can you hook me up with the people at Penske?
Let's get the number."
Even competitors. Mm-hmm. Right. At the end of the day, we have each other's back. We've helped each other out. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are in that garage, and it even when you look at drivers that fight with each other, you get the track, and then you'll go out and have a beer together.
Next
I mean, everybody
You spend 20 plus years
too much time.
In Mooresville, North Carolina.
You're bound to run into
And
hey, you know what? Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Having great
you.
Story. Good having
yes.
you. Congratulations. Infinity Actionwear on our sponsor page of our website. Go check it out.
No minimum.
So
for
short trackers out there.
Short trackers.
We got it.
Yeah.
Good. Shall we?
Yeah.
Take a minute. Good night, Dick. There you go. Thank you, everybody.
Bandolero drivers. There get a shirt.
Wow. Hey, another great show.
Thank you
so much, everybody, for tuning
Enjoyed
in.
It.
We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night. And Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching.
Right.
And
we're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. And this is just a fun show. Bucket of beer. Guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people. And we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.